This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In this week's program, the number of people in need of food in northeast Nigeria doubles to 4.5 million. And South Sudan's children need to be students, not soldiers. But first, an Islamist militant has pled guilty to war crimes for ordering the destruction of Timbuktu's religious and cultural monuments. A spokesperson for the International Criminal Court, ICC, has confirmed Mali's intellectual and spiritual capital is inscribed on the UN World Heritage Site. Ahmad Al-Faki Al-Mahdi, a member of the Ansar Dine rebel group, could be jailed for 30 years for the crime. On the line from The Hague, the ICC spokesperson, Fadi El Abdallah, began by explaining to me why this trial is so important.
Well, it is the first trial before the ICC regarding the situation in Mali, and indeed the first trial where the accused has admitted his guilt for the charge brought against him. And also, it is the first international trial that is focusing on the issue of the war crime of destroying historic monuments or building dedicated to religion. And it's also a way to draw the attention to the seriousness of these crimes beyond Mali as well, and to say everywhere that these type of crimes cannot remain unpunished.
For those who are not familiar with Timbuktu, can you just tell us briefly what importance it has in the cultural life of the country?
From the legal point of view, we are speaking here about the destruction of 9 mausoleums and one mosque in the city of Timbuktu, which is a city that for several centuries has been a spiritual and a religious center for the whole region in Mali and beyond it, and had continuously exercised a huge influence through these spiritual places that were also kind of places for education and for scholars to discuss and to engage in dialogue about the interpretation of the sacred text and the elaboration of the ways to a better understanding of it.
Finally, will this trial set a precedent? Because I'm thinking of other places where cultural and religious monuments or World Heritage sites have been destroyed, like Syria.
Well, we actually do believe that it is important to send this signal everywhere that attacks against historic or religious buildings constitutes a war crime, and that it is important to give the possibility to the tribunals and courts that have the jurisdiction to be able to investigate and to prosecute the perpetrators of these crimes. The ICC currently does not have a jurisdiction over Syria and Iraq, both countries that have not recognized the ICC jurisdiction, and the only way in the absence of their own recognition would be through the Security Council, who can refer the situations to the ICC, but this has not been done as well. But there are other tribunals, firstly the national tribunals, who should be provided with the possibility to prosecute the perpetrators of such crimes.
The number of people in need of urgent food assistance in northeastern Nigeria has doubled to 4.5 million, according to the UN World Food Programme, or WFP. The region has been badly affected by the ongoing insurgency by militants belonging to the Boko Haram group. And there are fears that a million more people will join the ranks of the hungry in the West African country. Daniel Dickinson reports.
Militants belonging to Boko Haram continue to terrorize communities in northeastern Nigeria. In the past days alone, tens of people have been killed or injured there, and in neighboring Chad, Cameroon and Niger. WFP says Boko Haram violence will continue to push more people into hunger and suffering. According to a report released by WFP and other UN agencies on Tuesday, the number of people in need of food assistance has risen to 4.5 million. That's nearly twice as many as in March. WFP's Bettina Lusha believes there is worse to come.
We're concerned it could go up even to another 1 million in this country that is so hard hit by Boko Haram. Our people on the ground are worried about that we still don't have enough access, that we could find even more people suffering.
Boko Haram's aim is to create an Islamic State in the north of the country. Its terror tactics are hitting the poorest people hardest. WFP's Bettina Lusha again.
What we are, of course, particularly concerned about are some 65,000 people that are estimated to be facing famine-like situations. As the rains are setting in, the lean season goes on, we really are concerned that more hunger and devastation is going to be visible.
The UN Food Agency is scaling up its response, aiming to reach over 700,000 people with food and cash assistance in the coming months. But it says to do so, it needs $52 million. And UN Partner Agency, the International Organization for Migration, or IOM, says it needs more money as well to support millions of people who have been forced to flee their homes because of the insurgency. Here's IOM's Joel Millman.
We're pointing out that IOM Nigeria is in need of significant financial support to provide continued shelter, displacement tracking and biometric registration, and other needs of that displaced population.
Nigeria's army is continuing to battle Boko Haram. There were press reports that several insurgents were killed in airstrikes last Friday. Meanwhile, some areas formerly held by the group have been liberated. UN health experts have arrived in the city of Maiduguri and are looking at how to scale up emergency response activities to assist hundreds of thousands of people in desperate need of health services. Daniel Dickinson, United Nations.
The world's youngest nation, South Sudan, needs teachers, doctors, lawyers, and engineers, not soldiers. That's according to the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, which is working to remove children from the ranks of armed groups in the country. South Sudan gained independence 5 years ago, but roughly half that period has been marred by conflict. UNICEF estimates that at least 16,000 children have participated in the fighting. More than 1,700 child soldiers were demobilized last year, which UNICEF Regional Communications Officer James Elder called a positive sign. However, he told Sani Martin that recent fighting indicates that children there are still at risk.
We know that since the conflict began in December 2013, as many as 16,000, probably more children, kids who need to be in school. Unfortunately, such a large number of children have been mobilized into armed force and armed groups. And again, this year, we've seen hundreds, as many as 650, potentially more. Last year, in 2015, we saw such positive signs in the country, whereby the government and UNICEF and others released more than 1,700 children who've been in armed groups. Our concern is that since renewed fighting started in July, the children are again being recruited and therefore being denied a childhood and denied that chance to contribute to South Sudan's future.
Besides recruiting these children into the army, what are some of the other violations that has been committed against children in South Sudan?
There are several, of course. The one that unfortunately has been a huge concern to everyone in South Sudan has been sexual violence and rape. We know that rape and exploitation has been pervasive in the country on and off over the last 2.5 years. You know, these are girls and women going about the most basic daily chores. This is obviously completely unacceptable. It has to end. The government must make very clear its national and international laws, and of course that all perpetrators will be held accountable.
Finally, how is UNICEF responding to the plight of these children who have been maybe unwillingly recruited to the armed groups?
Well, in many ways, the most basic is we are regularly sitting with armed groups and armed forces. We explain national law, we explain international law that South Sudan is, of course, a signatory to. And, of course, we also explain the damage done to kids, what it means for a child to be dragged from their family or to be dragged from a classroom and to be with an armed group. We know it's not a cliche to say children are the future of South Sudan, and South Sudanese need teachers, they need doctors, lawyers, engineers, nurses, not soldiers. And then, of course, working in communities, talking to local leaders, ensuring everyone understands what the laws are and what the damage is to children if those laws are broken, and if children, girls and boys, are indeed recruited into armed groups and armed forces.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambura.